Daf Lamed Gimel. We're going to start from Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. We're going to start from the Afra Papa. Let's start from Daf Lev. Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. Let's start from the Afra Papa Chodabei. Our Papa said Charata. Charata from what? Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. From the Afra Papa Chodabei. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines before it gets wide. Biafra Papa Hoder. Papa also had Chayrata. What do we have Chayat? Chayrata from Abba Shol. In other words, Abba Shol said that the only thing that counts when it comes to Truma is it should be worth a pruta. In order to be chayav to pay a chaymesh, it must be worth a pruta. Rav Papa said, you know what? You have to have two conditions. It's not enough that it's worth a pruta. It also must be the size of a kezayis. So Rav Papa,
what
chaymesh of a pruta is a fifth of a pruta. So you pay a fifth of a pruta, a fifth. So Rav Papa came along, Rav Papa was mechadesh, that you need to have two things. You have to have a kezayis, and you also have to have a pruta. The main point we want to make is Abba Shol. Again, Abba Shol made a statement. If you are going to be chayiv to pay a chomesh for eating chuma b'shoigeg, the chuma must be worth at least a. The chuma must be worth a pruta. Along came Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, it's not enough that the chuma is worth a pruta, the chuma also must be the size of a kezayis. So now the Gemara says, Rav Papa had charata. It doesn't need to be the size of a kezayis. As long as the chuma is the value of a pruta, that is enough to be chayiv to pay a chomesh. The Afra Papa Hodabei had Charata, you only need to have the value of a pruta. You do not need the size of a kezayis. And we're going to prove that right now, the Tanya. Now, it's a little bit complex, a little bit involved. Not hard, but involved. Tanya. It says in the Pasuk, V'chata b'shkaga. It says in the Pasuk that a person here does a mistake by accident, pralameis it. Now, this Pasuk, V'chata b'shkaga, is going by Ni'ila, when a person has benefit from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, V'chata b'shkaga, it says when a person derives benefit when he has Hana from the Beis HaMikdash, not Shuma. We're going to Brisa, you'll see in a few moments how this whole Brisa ties directly into the Chiddush of Rav Papa and Abba Shol. But right now we have to go off the road, off the beaten path to get some background. A person, what is this fly doing here? Excuse me, sir. We have over here a person by mistake derives benefit from the property that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So what is the law? The law is he's chayiv to bring a carbon oshon, and he has to pay its value plus a fifth. So basically the laws of having hana from the Beis HaMikdash by accident are very similar to the laws of having hana from Truma by accident. In both cases, you have to pay its value plus an additional fifth. Problem is it. That being that it says bishkaga, you can't do better than that.
Well, what's the case when a guy would have?
You have a piece of wood. A piece of wood belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. A person dedicated a piece of wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Simple case like that. Let's call Shem Mizbeach. Let's say you have a case where we have meat that's meant, a carbon oil, it's meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Meant to go on the Mizbeach. And I go and I take my fork and knife and I eat it for supper. So I have taken this sum that was meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach and I've derived personal benefit. So what is the halacha? I have to pay, bring a carbon asham, I have to pay its value, plus I have to pay an additional fifth. The only time I have to pay its value and pay an additional fifth is only when I had pleasure from the property of the Beis HaMikdash by accident. Not if I had benefit on purpose. Rambam makes it. Now, along comes the Gemara. Okay, this is the critical part. The Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me I'm only chayav to pay the fifth if I do it by accident, if an explicit pasuk? I would come to the same conclusion even without a pasuk. The haloi din hu, we can make a kal v'chomer. When I had, that's this part is critical for our Gemara. What's the kal v'chomer? When it comes to other mitzvahs, now what do we mean by other mitzvahs? We mean shor mitzvahs. We mean every mitzvah. Okay, we'll see every mitzvah. Shechay. No, I'm sorry. Ma shor mitzvah shechay b'chem koris. Poite b'chem esanezil is shor mitzvah referring to averos where there's a chiyuv koris. For example, chil Shabbos. Make believe chil Shabbos. And the person does not as mechal Shabbos. He is chayiv koris.
He is mechal Shabbos.
Let, for example, let's say for argument's sake, you have a halach of Shabbos. You're not allowed to mechal Shabbos. So let's say arayos. A man is not allowed to be with one of the relatives that is forbidden. Let's say by mistake he does not know the halach. He makes a mistake and let's say he knows what he's doing is forbidden and he does it anyway. What is the halacha? He is chayiv koris. So these categories, these lists of averus are very severe. There's a chiyuv koris. Yet, poiter b'chen esamezid, if a person does these averus b'mezid, he is exempt. What do you mean he's exempt from koris? He's exempt from the law of koris, right? That's halacha. I'm saying right? Potimus amazing. From a carbon. If a person, ma, we do this one more time. They're very severe. What do we mean they're very severe? Shabbos, arayos, all of these things. If a person would do these things b'nezid, he would be chayiv koris. If he does it b'shoigeik, he's chayiv to being a carbon chatos. But when he does it b'nezid, he's potter from a carbon chatos. Potter b'mehemes amezid, you're exempt from a carbon. There is no carbon when a person does the regular avera where there's a chayiv carbon amezid. Mi'ila she'ein bo koris, mi'ila, which is not as severe as shor mitzvot, because mi'il, if a person derives benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, b'nezid, what's the punishment that he gets? He's chayiv misa b'nei shamayim. Now the Gemara at this point is of the understanding that koris is much worse than misa b'nei shamayim. They're very similar. What is koris? Koris means that his nesham is cut off. What is misa b'nei shamayim? It's also that his nesham is cut off from the next world. But kares is a stronger form being cut off. And there's a whole discussion. I don't know all the exact details. Kares is in this world and in the next world. Misa b'dei shemayim is only in this world, but it's not in the next world. So the more, all we have to know for right now is there are two types of spiritual deaths. One is called kares, one is called misa b'dei shemayim. Kares is more chomer. So mad when it comes to kares, an avera, for which there is kares. If it's done b'nezid, there is no carbon. So mi'ila she'ein bo karis, mi'ila which is not as severe, ein oidin she'pata esamezo, certainly is going to be lenient. And in a situation where it's done an avera for which the nezid is, it's done the nezid, certainly it's not going to be a carbon chatas. It's not as you don't need a carbon. Okay, so that's the most kalachas. So let's review. We want to go match off. We have halacha.
Right.
Halacha is mi'ila. If a person derives benefit from the base, property of the base HaMikdash, if he does it b'nezid, he's chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. If he does it b'shoigeik, he has to bring a special karba. Now, what would the halacha be in a situation where a person does the aveir of mila b'mezid? Does he bring a carbon asham? Okay, we're dealing with a carbon asham. If a person derives benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, the shoigeg, you bring a carbon asham. The Gemara wants to know, if you derive benefit from the Beis HaMikdash, b'mezid, do you bring a carbon asham? So the pasuk says you don't. If it's an explicit pasuk. Bishkaga prat lemezid. You don't bring a carbon asham. The Gemara asks a question. I don't need the Torah to go through the effort of telling me this, of saying telling me bishkaga lafuke mezid, when I would automatically on my own figure out that you don't bring a carbon when you do a meila b'mezid, because it should be no worse than another avera for which there is karis. Madach, when it comes to karis, that avera is much more strict. Yet there is a leniency. The leniency is you don't bring a carbon when you do b'mezid. So certainly, when it comes to meila, which is less strict, why is meila less strict? Because meila is only misa b'dei shemayim. Meila is not. Mila is only Misa B'dei Shemayim, so certainly it should get the leniency that you're not going to bring a carbon when you do it B'mezit. So why then do we need the Pasuk to go through the effort and tell us this? So here comes the Gemara's answer. Lo, don't compare the case of Karis to the case of Mila to the other Averos. In Amarta B'Shom Mitzvah, Shekin Lo Chayeb Ha Misa, Toyma B'Mila Shechayeb Ha Misa. Now this thing doesn't make any sense. Don't compare the case of Mila, which seemingly is more strict. Whoever told you, basically, take the Gemara literally, the Gemara basically means to say is, whoever told you that Kores is strict, maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim, that is stricter. The whole Kal V'Chomer is built on the principle of Madach, this Halach is Chomor.
Which one is more Chomor?
Kores is Chomor, yet it has a leniency, so certainly Misa, which is lenient, should get the leniency. That's the structure of the Gemara. Are you with me with this?
Yeah.
Madach. So the Gemara says, your whole structure is flawed, because whoever told you that Kores is more Chomor, Misa is more Chomor. So maybe it's very true that when it comes to Mila, Mila is more chomor, because Mila is a chiv misa de shemayim, so maybe it will be more strict, and you will bring a carbon when you do it b'mezit. The whole thing is full of time of Mila shechai b'misa. That's why indeed we need the pasuk tamalema b'shkaga, we need the pasuk b'shkaga prat l'mezit, we need the pasuk. Okay? So that's the Gemara. So now the Gemara now comments on this statement. V'omar le'er avnachamar yitzak v'avchia bar avin. I don't understand what in the world is going on. When the Gemara starts off, the Gemara constructs the Kal V'Chomer with the assumption that Kores is more strict than Misa B'dei Shemayim. And once we have established that as a fact, then we can proceed and build the Kal V'Chomer. Madach, when it comes to Kores, there's a leniency. So certainly when it comes to Misa, which is Kal, we should certainly have that leniency. And then the Gemara makes an about face. No! Misa is more strict. If Misa is more strict, so it's more strict. It's, you're going to have a carbon. What's going on? Haitana, it's a little small line. Meikara alimo le karis. Well, with soif, alimo le Misa. We first start out that karis is more strict. Then we come out the maskar that Misa is stricter. So what's going on? The Omar le, along comes the Gemara. Hachi kamar, you're right. There's a lot more that's going on between the lines. And this is the part of the book that we're going to need now to explain the Arpabad Charat. And here we go. So the Gemara basically is giving us a new explanation. The Yomar Lei Hachi Kama. This is the correct interpretation. Lo, don't compare the two. Im Amar Ta B'Shar Mitzvah Shekein Lei Chayev V'Chen Misa B'Pachos Mikizais. We're not comparing it to cars. We're comparing it to other Averos for which there is Misa. Any other Avera where there's even Misa, or any Avera where there's a punishment, so the answer is the difference between Mi'ilah and Shar Mitzvos is that Shar Mitzvos is strict. The stringency is, don't compare the case of Mila to the case of Mitzvah, because Mi'ilah is strict. Why is Mi'ilah stricter than any other mitzvah in the Torah? Because Mi'ilah, you're chayiv, even if you derive benefit, less than the size of a kezayis. If you eat the meat of a carbon oila that's less than the size of a kezayis, you're chayiv for me'ila. Unlike shar mitzvos, it must be at least the size of a kezayis. Okay? So, that's the answer. Okay, so that's the answer. Let's review. This is what we're changing the answer. The answer is not a switch between Misa and Karis, which was Mohammer. The answer is Sha'ar mitzvos are lenient. Because Sha'ar mitzvos, you need at least the size of a kezayis. Whereas, when it comes to Mi'ila, Mi'ila is strict. Why is Mi'ila strict? You don't even need the size of the Kezayis to be Chayiv. And therefore, since it's stricter, maybe for that very reason, you're going to be Chayiv Bingo Carbon, even when you do it, B'mezit. Now, the Amulei, so he told him, thank you so much for this brilliant answer. I give you a bracha. This is the ultimate bracha you can give a person. It's an incredible bracha. Tunuach da'itcha she'inach testati. May you have Yishev Hadas because you have given me Yishev Hadas. Can you imagine what a bracha that is? This is the ultimate bracha you give a person. You know, people can have wealth, and they can have good health, and they can have children. But if they don't have Yishev Hadas, they're always in a state of daiga. Every moment they're afraid all their money is going to be taken away. They're afraid that their children are going to do something terrible. They're afraid that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. They're always in a state of panic. You can't accomplish anything in this world. The ultimate bracha is that Yishev Hadas. Tenuch daitcha sheinach d'astati. Okay, fine. He gave him a bracha. Now the Gemara says, what kind of answer is this? This answer doesn't make any sense. Now the Amalei, so he said to him, my nichus, why are you giving me such a good bracha? Why is this a good answer? My nichus de Rav, Rav Sheshes, but my nichus de Rabba, Rav Sheshes, shadu be narga. They put in a narga. They put in a nail in this. Narga means an axe, and they chopped this down. In other words, more explains, because man shamalei, what do we mean? Man shamalei de omar, what does it mean they took an axe and chopped down this answer? Because man shamalei de omar, ha'ize b'milo b'miso, who is the one that says that if you, let's analyze the Tana, who is the one that says that if a person derives benefit from Hegdish, he's chayiv miso bidei shaman. That's what it says here in this brisa. In this brisa, when we're comparing the case of mila to the case of shor mitzvos, it's clear as day that mila is a chayiv miso bidei shamayim. Please clarify for me the Tana that says such a thing. Heizu b'mila chamisa, Rebihi. This is none other than Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Tanya. Heizu b'mila, Rebbe Yoimer, b'misa. V'chachomim oimrim v'asharo. There's no misa b'dei shemayim according to the chachomim. You only chayv aloy sasei. Okay? So look at that. The Tana here must be Rebbe. Now let's go further. My time with the Rebbe, how taka does Rebbe know that Yechayiv Misa B'nei Shemayim? So here comes the most critical point of the Gemara. Om Rabbi Avo Gomar Chet Chet Mitshuma. We have a Gezeri Shava linking Mi'ila to Tshuma. Ma Tshuma B'Misa Af Mi'ila B'Misa. Just like Tshuma the Zechayiv Misa feeding Tshuma B'Mezit, so to the Zechayiv Misa it says with Chet by both places, and just like by Tshuma the Zechayiv Misa B'nei Shemayim, that's a given. So does the Misa B'nei Shemayim when it comes to Mi'ila. Umino. And now let's go another level. Once we've established this link, let's say further, not Truma, but Kazayis, if that's the case, just like Truma, it says, V'ochal, you need a Kazayis, Af Mila B'Kazayis, need a Kazayis. Okay, so let's review what we have over here. Okay, what did the Gemara do? The Gemara said that you cannot compare the case of Mila to Shor Mitzvos. Mila is strict. Why is Mila strict? You're chayiv less than a kezayis. The Gemara said it's nonsense. You're not chayiv less than a kezayis, because since you are of the opinion that Mila is chayiv misa de shemayim, you must be going like Rebbe, and the only way Rebbe knows Mila is chayiv misa de shemayim is because he links it to Truma, and if you're linking it to Truma, you got to follow all of the rules of Truma, and one of the rules of Truma is you need a kezayis. So how can you tell me you don't need a kezayis? Umasga flora papa, mimai de Rebbe, karabon and sviuli, dilma kiaba shol sviuli. Whoever told you, wait a minute, that's the floor. Wait a minute, you're telling me that we're learning Mila. Remember, this is what we're doing now. We're going back to Abishol, we're going back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday we did not discuss Mila. Yesterday we discussed the laws of Truma. And yesterday we had a machloikis. So what was the machloikis? When it comes to being moiled with truma, when it comes to be having benefit from truma, do you need a kezayis, or do you only need to be worth a pruta? What did Abba Shaul say? Abba Shaul said, you need a pruta. You need a pruta. And along came Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said, when Abba Shaul said you need a pruta, he did not mean to say you don't need a kezayis. He meant to say you need two things. Number one, the truma must be a kezayis, and also must be a pruta. Okay, that's the Gemara we learned yesterday. Now the Gemara says over here, when it comes to Mi'ilah, we're linking Mi'ilah to Truma. Just like Truma needs a Kezayis, so too Mi'ilah needs a Kezayis. The Gemara says, not necessarily. That's only true if you hold that Truma needs a Kezayis like the Rabbana. But what about Abba Shaul? Abba Shaul says that Truma doesn't need a Kezayis. Truma needs a Pruta. So just like Truma only needs a Pruta, Mi'ilah also only needs a Pruta, does need a Kezayis. And right away there should be an alarm going off in your head. But then I just tell you one moment ago that when Abba Shaul says you need a Pruta, it means you need a Pruta in addition to needing a Kezayis. The fact that Gemara over here is saying that no, who says you go like the Rabban that you need a Kezayis? Maybe we're going like Abba Shaul that says you need only a Pruta. It must be Abba Shaul holds you need a Pruta and you don't need a Kezayis. So the Gemara goes further. The Gemara right away jumps. What are you talking about? The Rav Papa was the one that said, the Abba Shaul Tardi boy, you need two things. You need a Pruta and a Kezayis. You need both. Ela, Shmamina, the Hadar Bey. Abba Shaul had Groitze Charata. Had Charata. What was the Charata? The only thing you need is a Pruta. You don't need a Kezayis. Beautiful Gemara. So let's review what we've done over here. Okay, so we recap the Gemara to get the Shlemus of this Gemara. Rav Papa, yesterday we learned the Machloikis. What was the Machloikis? Truma. Do you need a Kezayis or do you need a Pruta? Along comes Rav Papa and says, you're making a big mistake. The Machloikis is not just one, they're not mutually exclusive. When Abba Shaul said you need a Pruta, he meant you need a Pruta in addition to a Kezayis. Everyone holds you need a Kezayis. The Gemara has now just shown that that's not true. Because the Gemara has over here made an elaborate Gemara that has shown that there's a connection between Mi'ilah and Truma. And the only reason why there was a problem when we made this connection, the problem in the connection between Mi'ilah and Truma is only a problem if Truma needs a Kezayis. But if Truma does not need a Kezayis, all of our problems are solved. But didn't we say that according to everyone you need a Kezayis? The only issue was, do you need a Pruta in addition to a Kezayis? The fact that Gemara says no, that you don't need a Kezayis according to Abba Shaul, and the only thing you need according to Abba Shaul is a Pruta, shows that our pup indeed had Charata. Okay? So that concludes this piece of Gemara. Now once we've gone into the Sugya, the Gemara wants to continue and discuss the Sugya in a little bit more detail. Okay, so Marbred Ravina. Okay, it's right by the Tosfos Af. Now the Gemara is going back to the original question. The original question, what was the original question? Okay, we're going back to the original Sugya. The original question was, okay, we're going off the topic. We finished what we need for our purpose, for Daf Lamed Beis, and now we're going off on a tangent. We learned and mentioned in passing, we have a parasha of Mi'ilah. And if a person derives benefit from the priority of the Beis Hamikdash, he's chayav the carbon asham. Along came the Gemara Shiloh. What happens if you derive benefit from the Beis Hamikdash? Benezit. Are you also chayav carbon asham? And the Gemara answered, Yipater. Why Yipater? It's a gezeres hakasuf. It says Vishkaga. Vishkaga problem is it. What was the Gemara's question? I don't need a pasuk. No, I would figure this out on my own by making a kal v'chaymer. Along came the Gemara says, no, it's not a good kal v'chaymer. You know why it's not a good kal v'chaymer? Because mi'ilah fundamentally is more strict than any other mitzvah. Why is mi'ilah more strict than any other mitzvah? So far we've given one reason. The one reason we've given so far is because mi'ilah yichayev even less than a kezayis. Less than a kezayis. The Gemara is now going to present a whole long list of other reasons why mi'ilah is more chamor than anything else. So, Marbe, the Rav, no, Omar, Hachi, Kamar, Lo. You can't compare Me'ila to all of the mitzvahs. You know what? You know why? When it comes to Shem Mitzvahs, if you do it by mistake, Shaloi b'mischaving, an accident, you are exempt.
How do you do this such a thing by accident?
Shabbos. Look at the Gemara gives an example. She'im, for example, she'nischavin lachtech es atolish v'chadar sam chuber. I had intent to cut. So I want to cut. I wanted to cut what was detached. And by mistake, I cut what was attached. That is called shaloi b'mischavin. You know what you are doing. I'm very well aware that I'm cutting. I just thought I'm cutting what's detached. So the halach is, mischavin lichtes atol shechatz nemuchubar shepater. I am exempt. Toymar b'meila, by meila shmischavin lahaschamim begizei chulin. If I have kavanah to warm myself up in wool, of to put on a garment of chulin, then ischamim begizei oila, the wool of a carbon oila shema. So what do we learn from this halacha? That a davar she'ein mischavin by meila is chayiv. But a davar she'ein mischayiv b'shar mitzvah is potur. So what do we extract from this? Meila is more strict than shar mitzvahs. Okay, next. That's why you can't compare one to the other. Next halach. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Hachi Kamar. I'll give you another reason why meila is mochamar hachamar. Lo, you can't compare the case of meila to the case. You can't compare the case of meila to the case of. To the case of shar mitzvahs, in Amar to b'shar mitzvah shekain loy mischay b'chem shein misasek kimisasek. There's something called misasek, where you're preoccupied. Preoccupied means you're totally not aware of what you're doing.
So you have to have the amount.
Not a matter of amount. It's a different issue. That was before. We discussed before. By Me'ila, you don't have to have a shear. You don't need to have a kazayis. Now we're discussing a third unique feature of Me'ila.
Which is money.
Not money. Me'ila, you have to have benefit, worth a pruta. But let's say you have benefit, you don't even realize you're having benefit. For example, Shemischavein lahagbia es atolosh v'chatach esamuchub. I had kavan to pick up something that was detached, and instead I cut. So cutting, I did not even have intent to cut. It was a total accident. It's not an accident. It's called misasik. Well, you don't even have intent to do what you're doing. If I have intent to take something, and then I end up smearing myself with oil, so what do we learn from this halacha? When it comes to misasik, misasik means I did not even have intent to do the action. And the action came about in a way that I did not expect. I act about him to pick something up by mistake. Something spilled on me, and my hand was anointed, was smeared with oil of hegg, which I had pleasure. So even in that case, the halacha is your chayif. But you never chayif for misasik when it comes to shar mitzvos, and therefore that's why you can't compare the case of meal to the case of chuma. So the bottom line is, and when the Gemara now is over, we'll finish with the Shtil Gemara. You cannot compare the case of Me'ila to the case of Sha'ar Mitzos for three reasons. Number one, this is an exam. Number one, Sha'ar Mitzos, you're chayiv only when you have a sheer kezayis. Me'ila, you're chayiv even if you have a sheer that's less than a kezayis. Number two, Sha'ar Mitzos, you're chayiv even if, you're potter if it's she'ein mischavein. Whereas Me'ila Yechayiv if it's Shein Mischavin. Number three, Shar Mitzvos Yechayiv by Misasek. Me'ila Yepater by Misasek. So you have three reasons, Sacha call three reasons, Me'ila you can't compare one to the other. Next, Omar, we learned in passing, when is this true? And this goes back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday we learned that if you give a Koyein, according to one opinion, if you give a Koyein a Tuluma, that is chametz, and then you give, and then you have pleasure from the chametz of the kohen on Pesach. You're chayiv to pay a fifth. Okay, that was what we learned yesterday. One more time, the kohen has in his possession truma, which is chametz. Okay, the kohen has in his possession truma, which is chametz, and you eat it.
Right.
Are you obligated to pay back the payback after Pesach, Truma, plus an additional fifth? So the answer was, according to one opinion, yes. Why yes? There are two possible reasons why yes. Either lefi mida. Okay, the two reasons are because mida, that when you steal truma, it has nothing to do with value, even though it's true the chametz has absolutely no value on Pesach because it's also be'achilas v'hanah. It you chayiv to pay volume, and you did consume a volume of truma. The second reason that we learned why you're going to be exempt is because. And why Yichayv is because fair, but volume is because it does have value. Because according to this man, Yomar, it's mutter behana.
You allow the volume to, would be besides.
Not up to, it doesn't matter the volume. The truma, you have to have a kazayis. You have to have eating, you have to have a kazayis. Correct, that's right, correct. But that's not the issue now. The issue over here is a person has pleasure from truma that is chonetz on Pesach. The halacha is you have to give the kohen the truma and to replace it. Now, we learned yesterday in passing, Omamar, Bamed Vodim Amurim, Bemafris Truma, Vichnitza. The only time you have an obligation to give back to the kohen the value of what you've eaten, or to give back a replacement, is only when you gave when originally it was truma. That the status of truma. Originally, this object was truma, and it was not chametz, and later became chametz. In other words, you gave the kohen grain, grain that's not chametz, and at a later point in time, the grain turned into chametz. The yichnitza, it came in contact with liquid, and it fermented, and it became chametz. Avol. But, a few more words, hifrish chametz, let's say, now the Gemara is going to explain this to me as follows. The grain, when it was attached to the ground, became chametz. How does that happen? We have box of matzah, shmur matzah. What does it say in your box of shmur matzah? What does it say in the shmur box? You have a box of shmur matzah, right? What kind of matzah do you eat? What brand?
What brand?
Shatza. Shatza, what do you eat?
Shatza.
Shatza, okay. What do you eat?
Lakewood.
Okay, hand matzah.
Yeah.
You eat hand matzah. How much do you pay? $23 a pound?
$24.
Okay, on the box, what does it say? Next time you get your shatza matzah, you go look on the box. You have any box left over still in the house?
None.
Look at the box. The box, shomur, mishas,
Kitzira.
From the harvest. That means when it was growing in the field, no one was watching it.
Right, so they watch it today when they harvest.
They watch the first time they begin to guard it to make sure that the grain does not come in contact with liquid and turn into chametz is after it was detached from the ground. But while it's attached to the ground, no one came along to inspect it. The Gemara here tells a very important concept. It's possible for standing ears of grain, of wheat, to turn into chametz even when it's attached to the ground. Now you ask, what do you mean you're talking about? It rains. That's right. As long as it's not yet fully developed, mature. But once it gets to a point where it's over-ripened, it's overdeveloped, if now it, you leave it out in the rain, it can turn into chametz while it's still attached to the ground. You hear a story? So when you go there to the matzah factory, you tell them that this is a ripoff. For this price, it should be shomer mishas gidul from the time that it grows, not from the time when it's cut.
For what?
Chametz.
It won't be chametz if it's growing.
Yeah. That's what the Gemara here says. The Seferish Gemara. If you have grain that's attached to the ground and it's growing, if you don't watch it, it can turn into chametz even when it is attached to the ground. Here's the story?
That's what
it says. So, now let me ask you a question. When grain is attached to the ground, is it shaykh for it to have the status of truma?
Is it shaykh what?
Shaykh for it to have the status of truma when it's attached to the ground.
Impossible.
The first time grain can make the status of truma is after it's detached.
Is it able to bring it to the coin?
So look at this. We now are going to construct a lum case. Okay, if you walk away from today just knowing this, it was worth coming today. A lum case. You have grain attached to the ground, and it's overripened. It's overripened. And now it's raining, it gets wet, and it turns into chametz while the grain is still attached to the ground. So now it became chametz, and it's not yet truma. It wasn't even shaykh to be truma. I now detach it. From the very first moment that I detach it, it's automatically chametz. It's chametz. Now I take this chametz, and I give it, it's Pesach, I detach from the ground on Pesach, and I give it, even before Pesach, let's say it's on Pesach, and I give it to the Kohen as Truma. So I'm giving to the Kohen Truma, something which was Chometz from the very, very beginning. It never had a moment when it wasn't Chometz. So that's what's Avul Chifresh Chometz, Truma. Divrei HaKol Eina Kedush, everyone agrees that it does not get the status of Truma, to the degree where if I come along now and I eat it, I do not have to pay back the Kohen its value. Why not? We know this. You give it to him. You must give him something which is low, which he has benefit from, but not something which is going to be burnt, going to be destroyed. Now let's read a few more lines to clarify some of the details. You're not letting me mafresh tmeya, truma tmeya, for tohira. If you go and you give a kohen truma tmeya, what will he do with it? He's going to burn it. Yet the halach is if you do it, it works. What's the difference? Their truma tmeya, before it became tmeya, it was tohira. It had potential. So that automatically is, and it comes to the chametz also never shasa kosher. What's the case? From the achmetz b'mechubor, a nachnami became chametz when it was attached. Avlechemetz b'talush hachinami to kotsha a nachnami. But does that mean if you gave it to him when it was attached, that it has kedusha and you have to repay it? Amalei in yes. I mean, I'm telling you that was not my own chiddush. The Talmidei Chachomim, which are doine lemalachei hasharetz, the gzeiras irin, according to the law of the irin. Irin means the malachim. Talmidei Chachomim piskama. This matter has been handed down. Uvemaimer kadishin shilte. It has been asked by the holy ones. V'chein morim bebe midrasha chavasi like me. So in other words, I told you a big mouth, but let me just tell you the basic yisoid. The basic yisoid is, if you separate, it says in the pasuk, let's review the so maybe I'll read the more in a moment again, just to go through all the details. So we went through a lot of details, but you have to really go to everything in one shot to appreciate what the Gemara is saying. What the Gemara here is saying is that when you go, it says in the pasuk, titain lo. The only time you have an obligation to pay back a kohen for truma that you have consumed, right, is only when you can give him something that he can actually derive benefit from. Titain lo. The whole pasuk reads, let me read you the whole pasuk. Reishis digancha, tiroshcha v'yitzarecha, v'reishis geitzoncha, titain lo. You have to give the kohen something which he can eat, he can derive benefit from. If the kohen cannot derive benefit from, That's not called titen lo. So now the problem is, my question to you is, let's give you two examples. Let's say you have grain, and the grain becomes chametz. First it was grain, then it became chametz, and I gave it to him. And now I ate it. Is it possible, did I give him anything? No, because what is he going to do with it? He's going to burn it. Another example. Let's say I have grain, and the grain became tame, and I give it to him. What's the kohen going to do with it? He's going to burn it. Have I fulfilled my obligation? L'chor or not? But the Gemara says, you have fulfilled your obligation in both of these cases. Do you know why? Even though right now, he cannot derive benefit from it, but this object that you gave him originally had potential for him to derive benefits. Because before it became Tameya, it was Tahara. And if you would have given it to him, then he would have been able to derive benefit. Before the Truma became Chametz, it was not Chametz. And at that point in time, he would have been able to derive benefit. So even though now, in its current state, the Kohen cannot derive benefit, and right now it's not a Kim of Loi, it does not matter, because we've attached the Lot to mean something which originally had potential for the Kohen to derive benefit. So if Tameya is something which originally had the potential to the benefit, and Chametz is something which...
What was the benefit?
To eat it. There was originally potential. When will you construct a case where the Kohen never had potential to derive benefit? That's only in one case. Where the grain turned into Chametz when it was still attached to the ground. Because when the grain was still attached to the ground, it's not shayich, it's not possible at that point in time to give it as truma. So the very first, and already at that point in time it turned into chametz. So the very first moment in time when it's shayich to go give it to the kohen, when the very first time we had shayich to give it to the kohen, it was already something which she had no power to derive benefit from. So that is the Gemara's maskana. Okay, so this little shtickle, that's one that less than the Govaita. Kiyosa Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua. Omar, he said, Omar Kra, he disagrees. Omar Kra, Rashis, Sheshireha Nikarin, Li Yisrael, Yatsis Azosh Ein Shireha Nikarin. So he comes to disagree, and he says that it's even possible. Even where he says that he says even where it became chametz, he disagrees with everything we said above. He holds even if the grain became chametz after it was detached from the ground, it has no kedusha. Why not? In other words, he disagrees with the whole gemara we had before. Why? Why does it not have kedusha? Why? But it had potential. There's another reason, because the shirayim are not noticeable. Now, what does that mean exactly? Let's take a classic example. You have grain, right? You have grain. You have a silo, a pile of grain. What is the halacha? You mechuyev to give the kohen 1/50th, for argument's sake, right? You have a pile of grain. How much truma do you give? 1/50th, right? 1/50th. What is the status of the grain until you give the truma? What is it called? Tevel. What's talach when it comes to tevel? Tevel is asur behana. It's mutter, it's asur behana. Asur be'achil, asur behana. Now, I give the kohen 1/50th. You get your 1/50th, your truma, and I'm left now with the shirayim. What happens to the shirayim? It's no longer tevel. It's now called shirayim, it's no longer tevel. I still have to go give my serishayim, okay, but it's no longer called tevel. The tevel, shame tevel, goes off. So it turns out that the shirayim, the leftovers, are noticeable. Until now, if he tevel, the zechiv meets sabidei shemayim. I have now a pile, the zechiv meets the shemayim. I give the kohen his portion. After he gets his portion, the chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim departs from the shirayim. Now, let's say you have in front of you grain. Okay, the grain, now you detach the grain. This man disagrees. It's now detached. Okay, very good. It's detached. It's now kotsur. And it's kotsur. And now someone comes along and takes a bucket of water and pours it on the pile of grain. And they let you soak in the pile of water, and it turns into chametz. Okay?
Yeah, because of...
It's chametz. Yeah. And it's now Pesach. And Pesach, what's the halacha when it comes to chametz? So let's learn like the man that says it's asa be'achila, and it's mutter behana. Right? That's what chametz is. Chametz is asur be'achila, according to this man, the Omar. We don't know halacha l'maaseh, it's a pasuk like that. But this man, the asur mutter behana. Now what I'm going to do is, I'm going to separate 1/50th and give it to the kohen. Kohen, take it. Take it. It's yours. And what am I left with? I'm now left with 49 parts. Am I allowed to eat it? No. It's chametz. Am I allowed to derive benefit? No. So it's exactly the way it was before. When we started, it was Tevel. Tevel is Asur. Tevel is Asur Be'achila and Mutu Be'hana. Tevel is Mutu Be'hana. Now it turns into Chametz, and I give part of it to the Kohen. What's the Shirayim? Same exact thing. So it's not noticeable. No change of status has occurred when I'm mafresh truma from a pile of grain. And if no change of status occurs when I'm mafresh truma from a pile of grain, you have not. It's not called you've given truma. It's not called. In order for something to have a status of truma, the shirayim must undergo a change in the halachic status. Normally, when you have regular grain, until now it's also biachila. Now, when I give it, it's tevel, when I give the truma, the shirayim is mutter biachila. A change of the shirayim have undergone a status change. But when it comes to chametz, there's no change in status. It's also before, it's also now. So therefore, it's not called that you've given him truma. Mimeilat has no kedusha. If I subsequently eat it, I do not need to pay a chaymesh, because it's not called truma. Omar Kron, which is racious. Racious automatically has a connotation. There's a shirayim. I give the first amount. There's going to be a leftover. Shashirecha nikarin liyisrael. Yatsis azot to the exclusion of chametz ein shirecha nikarin. Okay, so that concludes this gemara. Okay, we're finished. Okay? So we've already done two sugyas.
Right.
Now we're going to do third sugya, new sugya. This is a new lomish sugya. Yosef, Rav Acha, Barav, Avya, Chamed, Rav Chistam, Yosef, Rav Yosef, Yom, Mishnah, Rav Yochanan, Falun, Chalun, Ches, new sugya, brand new sugya. Anodim shanit mudarchin pachas mikabeitza. V'yeinim kosher l'naschan, and it's kosher for nisach hayayin. An incredible chiddush. We all know the base HaMikdash. Everything has to be 100% tohor.
Right.
I have grapes. The grapes are tameh. Mamash tameh. They got wet. In order for food to become tender, we must have hechshamayim, right? So we have grapes, and the grapes were wet. I washed them in water, and then a sheretz came along and touched them, or a tamei meis touched them. So the grapes are tamei. What's the, nothing to talk about? But you know what I want to do with these grapes? I want to squeeze them. I want to extract their juice, and I want to use the juice as nisachim on the mizbeach. You can do it. You know how you can do it? When you squeeze the grapes, just make sure you squeeze it less than the size of a beitza. Because here are the two halachas. You have to be aware. The only time a food has the ability to convey tumah to another food is only if it's the size of a kezias. If I have a basket of grapes, they're all tameh, and I take one grape, and I take that one grape and I touch meat, I touch another thing, touch something, nothing happens. I touch even a liquid, nothing happens. The only time a food has the ability to contaminate another food, another to go another level down, is only if the food that you're using to contaminate is at least the size of an olive.
Of a
kezias. If it's less the size of a kezias, it does not have the power to contaminate. Next, so you have to be aware of, is the juice that is stored in the grapes. We consider it to be deposited as a collection of liquid. It's like a container. You have a grape, and in the grape, you have, it's like a bottle of water. We don't consider the juice that's absorbed in the flesh of the grape to be the same as the grape. We view the shell of the grape to be one entity, and the liquid that's absorbed inside the flesh of the grape to be a separate entity. Okay? Two separate. So therefore, how will the liquid become tameh? The way the liquid will become tameh is only when you crush it. When you crush it, the liquid oozes out from the inside and makes contact with the shell. The shell now will contaminate the liquid. But in order for the shell to contaminate the liquid, you must have at least a kezias worth of shells. Because in order for a food to contaminate another food, you must at least start out with a kezias. If you start out with less than a kezias, it is not the ability to contaminate. So here we go. We have here two principles. Number one, the grapes are tummy. Just because the grapes are tummy, that does not mean that the liquid inside is tummy. Because the liquid is considered to be a separate entity. This is a shasugya.
Because it's closed up.
Because it's like a bottle of water. It's a thing inside. Now that terminology to remember this is mifkat pokat. Mifkat pokat means it's contained inside. In contrast to the terminology mivla baliye means it's absorbed. Okay, mivla baliye means the other side of the coin is that when the grape becomes tameh, the liquid becomes tameh. Everything becomes tameh in one shot. What? When the skin becomes tameh, the liquid automatically becomes tameh. If you say that principle, you have a grape. And when the grape becomes tummy, automatically the liquid inside. What? That is the machlekel. There are two different opinions. So there are two different concepts. One opinion holds that when the grapes become tummy, the liquid inside does not become tummy. The terminology for that concept is called mifkat pocket. The other concept, the other opinion is, a different opinion about, disagrees, that when the grape becomes tummy, automatically the liquid becomes tummy. And the terminology is mivla boliye. It's absorbed. The liquid is absorbed. It's not mifkat. Mifkat pocket means it's collected. Mivla boliye means it's absorbed. Okay, so now this Tana is of the opinion, mifkat pokat, it's collected, it's not absorbed, and it's not automatically tameh, it's tohar. The only way it can become tameh is when you crush the grapes and the liquid leaves the inside and makes contact with the outside. And the outside will then contaminate the liquid. But the only way the outside can contaminate the liquid is only when the outside is at least the size of a kizayis. What? You have to have a lot of skins. Yeah. You have to have 20 grapes. 20 grapes will have enough skins that will equal the size of a kizayis. So therefore, if you have over your grapes that are tamei, and you want to go use the liquid that are tahar, all you got to do is squeeze the grapes, but make sure you only squeeze a few grapes at a time. So the amount of skin that you're going that's going to be collected is going to be less than the size of a kizayis. Only if you hold like the mandal amar that says the liquid inside is mifkat pocket and not mifla baliye. So darchan, crush them, pachas make a beitza, lest the size of a beitza meviyenim kashul nesachim. Alok isavar mashkin mifkat pikide. It's collected inside. When will it contaminate the liquid? When you squeeze it. When you squeeze it less, you no longer have the shear. You no longer have the shear of a kezayis. So now the Gemara is Sakasha Yachi, that's the case. Kibet tsunami. Why then? What does he say? You shall do it, but make sure that when you squeeze it, make sure that the amount of skins are less, the amount of grapes together are less than the kezayis. Why do you need to start out with less than the size of a kezayis? You can start out even with a full kezayis. Because automatically, the moment you begin to crush, and the moment the liquid begins to ooze out of the grape, it will automatically become less than a kezayis. This is a very small question. Why does the Braita say that you have to make sure that you start out with grapes that are less than a kezayis? You should be able to start out with grapes that are even equal to a kezayis, because as soon as you begin to squeeze, automatically it will become less than a kezayis. The tamei mace, for example, olives and grapes, kibetza, michuvenis, exactly the size of a beitza, to hoirin. So there, you see, because as long as you start out with the size of a kezayis, it's okay, because when you begin to squeeze it, it's going to be less than the size of a kezayis. And the skins do not have the power to contaminate liquid. So the Gemara says, chosam di'eved, it's not a kasha. There, it's telling us after the fact. Don't do this at home. Don't do it. after the fact, if you start out with the kazayis, it's okay, because by the time you squeezed, the skins were less than the kazayis, and it did not have the power to contaminate the liquid. Here, we're telling that lichatchila, if you're starting out with grapes that are less size of the kazayis, lichatchila you can do it because there's no concern. Why lechatchila? Why do we not allow you lechatchila to squeeze when it's the size of a kazayis? Gezera dilma osi lemebal yosem mikabeitza. Because if we let you lechatchila to start out with the kazayis today, you'll fall down the slippery slope. Next week you'll start out with more than a kazayis. And when you'll start out with more than a kazayis and you squeeze a little bit, you'll still be left with the kazayis and it's going to be no good. Rav Chista says, I disagree with you. Rav Chista says, I disagree. I am of the opinion that the liquid inside the grapes is not collected, but the liquid inside of the grapes is nivla belie, is absorbed, and automatically, the moment that the grapes become tamei, automatically the liquid becomes tamei as well. Man, it's sayis. Who's going to listen to you, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbah? It makes no sense. The chitumah shebachem lechon holch, where did it go? Alma the Gemara says, kosavar, mashkin, nivla belie, the liquid is absorbed inside. The kevan dit mu'uluhu, uchlo itum the mashkin, he's in. As soon as the liquid, the grape becomes tamei, the liquid automatically becomes tamei as well, and it's too late. Amalei, the adlet is bra. I'm now going to prove to you that the liquid inside is collected. The mashkin mikom kiti. This is what I'm going to mention. Tamei mei shesochad zeis vanavim muchovenes kebetsa tochayrin v'ferish abraisa v'tamus tamei squeezes olives or grapes the size of a betsa. The liquid is tahar because the liquid is mifkat pocket. And the only way it can become tamei is when it makes contact with the shell, the skin. And the skin by this time is less than the kazayis. It only makes sense. Iyamayt b'shloim mifkat pocket mishamachi tahrin eli iyamayt mivabli iyamayt tahrin amulei. Stanakasha, a lomish answer. Hocha b'mayaskinon, an incredible answer. Bianovim shlehuchshu, we're dealing here with grapes. Who's tamei in this case? Not the skins. This is a different case. This is a case where the grapes are not tamei. The grapes are not tamei. Who's tamei? Me. The person is going to squeeze it. Now the grape, if I could touch the grapes all I want, the grapes do not become tummy. Why? Because food only becomes tummy when it becomes wet. And that's the first thing. It's not wet, it's dry. When will the grapes become wet? What? Oh, when will the grapes first become wet? When I squeeze. But when I squeeze, it's already less than the size of a kazayis. It's too late. So Amos, when I squeeze it, it's less than the size of a kazayis. And I'll prove to you, we go back, this goes back to our Gemara. We learned about two of tooths of berries. Why not? We have a collection of berries, and it says you can't eat. Why can you eat it? If you have berries that are tamei, why is there no heter achila? Just squeeze the berries less than the size of a beitza. It must be, you know why? Because no, the mashke mivla belie. Squeezing, as soon as you touch the berries are tamei, the liquid inside is tamei. And therefore, squeezing less than the size of beitza is not going to accomplish anything. And that's why the Gemara said, Amarav, it's not a raya. Dilma asibul de takola, really, I'll tell you that the berries are the liquid inside is tar. The reason why we don't let you squeeze the berries, we're afraid you may come to eat the berries when you squeeze them, because the berries on the outside are tame. So the liquid that's tar. If we're going to let you squeeze the berries, you may come to eat the berries. The gzeira, that's why in this case we don't allow it. Okay, we'll stop here.